Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
From Sam Monson, just the other day. Baker Mayfield took a huge step back this year. All his negatives were magnified. All his positives became less frequent. He was a shell of the potential we saw as a rookie. He was still better than Josh Allen. You say that to a Bills fan, and we got a couple of them in town
words.
And a couple of them who listen up there.
You're going through a table.
It is Fist City, brother. So let's welcome on Sam Monson, who joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Thank God we're Browns fans, Sam. That has become a hot opinion, though, for a lot of folks out there. Tell me why.
Because there's a lot of crazy Bills fans that absolutely love Josh Allen because he gives them a glimmer of hope versus what they had in, you know, previous quarterbacks. So, yeah, a lot of them are pretty angry.
Yeah, I get that. I always try to say, what would I be thinking if I were in the other city? I know that when I saw Josh Allen playing in Cleveland, and that was one of the nice wins for the Browns this year. Obviously, they beat the Ravens early in the year on the road, and then they beat the Bills. I watched Allen, and I'm like, this guy is just not good. And obviously, he looked much better on Thanksgiving against Dallas. He did make some nice plays, but outside of the draw play, he doesn't have a lot that excites me all that much, to be honest.
Yeah, and you're going to go a long way to find a collapse that was as spectacular as his in the playoffs as well. Like, he absolutely imploded late in that game. Look, I think Allen has potential, and that's always been the key with him, is he's got the huge arm, he's got the ability to make crazy plays with his legs. He can do pretty much everything you want. He just doesn't for most of the time, and that's the key. And, you know, when you start talking about prospects in particular, you know, now that we're coming up to the draft, everybody wants to focus on what a player can do. But ultimately, how often he does it is kind of more relevant, particularly when you're talking about draft players. But the same thing is true with these young quarterbacks. And that was Allen's problem, is that he can do anything you want. It's just he doesn't do it that regularly. And certainly when compared with Baker Mayfield, you know, Mayfield always did it consistently far better or far more often than Allen did right up until last year. And even last year, it's really an exercise in perception. You know, Josh Allen's team goes to the playoffs for the first time in a while. They look like they can contend. So Josh Allen gets all the credit for that. Whereas Mayfield, we thought the Browns would be good. Again, they were disappointing again last year. And now it's all Baker Mayfield's fault. And look how badly he's playing because the Browns don't win. And this, what people thought would be a good offense, really wasn't. And then the other thing is, you know, Allen was better late in games in fourth quarter situations or in tough situations most of the time. But all the downs count, you know, and a lot of the time Allen was putting out fires that he started in the first place earlier in the game or earlier in the drive, whereas Mayfield, kind of the opposite thing was happening. He was being put in tough situations and wasn't kind of coming through to the other side, but a lot of the stuff he was doing was not being noticed because it happened earlier in the game or earlier in the drive, and it ultimately didn't matter.
You allude to it a little bit. Let me just come out and say it. How much do you think was Freddie Kitchens' fault with Baker Mayfield last year?
I mean, I think a lot of it was. We did a series on our podcast earlier in the week, and it was the off-season needs for the AFC. And I think the biggest need the Browns had was to make the change they made at head coach. I think Stefanski should be a huge upgrade in that area, and I think he needs to be because, you know, everything unraveled so quickly last season for the Browns. All the things we thought would be strengths, not just for Mayfield, but for the entire offense, turned out not to be. And, you know, I thought this connection of Baker Mayfield to Odell Beckham would be spectacular, but those two guys just couldn't get on the same page for the entirety of the season. And, you know, Beckham was dealing with some injury stuff and everything was kind of compounding on Mayfield. But ultimately, if you can't get a quarterback and receiver on the same page throughout the course of a 16-game season, like, somebody's at fault there, and it's probably the guy running the show.
Well, you guys have a lot of opinions, but your opinions are based off the numbers, the facts, the data, and the whatnot. And that's great for players. How do you look at coaches And how can you tell me that Kevin Stefanski will be so much better than Freddie Kitchens other than me going, well, yeah, obviously. I mean, look, one guy couldn't handle a lot of things, and we just hope Kevin Stefanski, or we assume Kevin Stefanski will.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways that we kind of analyze coaches. We don't obviously have a play-by-play grading for them the way we do with players, but what we do have is, you know, analytics put certain situations are clear, black and white things that you should be doing. So running the ball on second and long is a bad idea, always. Now, it doesn't mean it will always go wrong. Sometimes, you know, that draw play on second and 10 actually ends up gaining 8 yards and you're in a good spot. But fundamentally, from a statistical point of view, it's just a bad play call. You're almost always setting yourself up for failure. So you can look at how often a coach calls plays like that and where they are on the spectrum of these kind of conservative, outdated play calling methodologies. And Stefanski was always really good on those things. So that's one thing in his favor. And then the other thing we can do is when you sort of create the sum of the parts in terms of all the play-by-play grading of players, it doesn't always match the production of that unit. Sometimes the play-by-play grading of the players will be dramatically better than the production of the unit as a whole, and sometimes the reverse is true. And the thing that bridges that gap is typically coaching. It's play calling, it's scheme, it's all those kinds of things. So Stefanski, again, was able to get more out of the sum of the parts of that Vikings offense pretty consistently, and that's another good thing in his favor. And, you know, one of the things that sort of suggests that is a coaching thing is when that happens, it's all the people you think of as being good coaches. You know, it's the Shanahans of the world who get consistently year after year these career seasons out of players that aren't that good, and then overall they get a better level of production than the sort of sum of its parts when you add up all the grading.
So, Sam, obviously Baker had a great rookie year. He was a disaster last year. You put a lot of that on at the feet of Freddie, and I agree with you. Assuming he has better coaching this year, like you just said, what is the realistic expectation for what Baker Mayfield's going to be?
Well, now I'm snake bit because I thought his potential heading into this season was spectacular. I thought he was going to be one of the next young great quarterbacks, and obviously things went completely in the other direction. So I think, you know, let's temper expectations and let's say, look, first he's got to reverse the trends that were going wrong this year, all of his negatives in college. And he had a few coming out, but it felt nitpicky to even, you know, identify them because he was so good at everything else, and they came along so infrequently. But they all became big problems this year. So this idea that he holds onto the ball too long and then he bails from clean pockets, gets himself into trouble essentially just trying to play outside of the structure of the offense and make plays happen himself, he's got to clean all of that up. He's got to get comfortable in the pocket. He's got to get rid of the ball quicker. He's got to control his own pressure a little bit more, which is, you know, something you see from all the great quarterbacks in the NFL. That all became a huge issue last year, and it made people around him look worse as well. So, you know, the fact that he wasn't comfortable with the protection made the offensive line look worse because they were having their own sort of leverage undermined by Mayfield bailing from clean pockets or by just having a lousy pocket presence. All those things have got to get cleaned up, and then we can sort of see what he can do from a much more structured situation.
Sam Monson joining us on the hotline. So we love in the NFL talking about tiers of quarterbacks. We love talking about ceilings. So we've seen really good Baker for about 8 games that rookie year. And last year we saw a lot of bad Baker. What do you think his ceiling is? What do you think we're talking about 4 years from now when it comes to Baker Mayfield? Is he still on the Browns? Is he a top 15 quarterback? Could he get to top 10? Could he be top 5?
I think his ceiling is still incredibly high. You know, the talented player that we saw from the last 5 years didn't disappear. It didn't die last season. He's still in there. So the question is just, A, can we reverse what happened last year? And B, can we get back there? I think there's no reason he can't be. You know, I think Patrick Mahomes is obviously setting the new standard for how good NFL quarterbacks can be. But I don't see any reason that Baker Mayfield can't get to that next tier of, you know, top 5, top 10 quarterbacks that have the accuracy, that have the poise, that have the ability to make all the big plays. He just has to fix everything that went south a year ago. I think the problem with him now is that he has one of the highest ceilings in the NFL, but clearly a very low floor as well because of how bad things unraveled.
Sam, what do you expect out of Odell this year?
Well, hopefully they can get him and Baker Mayfield on the same page. Look, Odell Beckham is still one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. He is good at everything. He, you know, has some of the most natural hands in all of football. You see just from those pregame warm-ups how effortless it is for him to snatch the ball one-handed out of the sky. He's great as a route runner. He is fantastic after the catch. He can make people miss. There's no reason that he shouldn't look like the best receiver in the game with a quarterback who's accurate throwing him the football. That connection, again, should be spectacular. I don't know why it wasn't able to, why they weren't able to get on the same page last season. I would hope that a new head coach can come in and fix that and get those two guys coordinated and pulling in the same direction.
Obviously, Odell is making a lot of money, and his stardom, he has more Twitter followers, more Instagram followers than anybody in the NFL. But what is the reality when it comes to Odell? Like, if he's healthy, which is a big if, it's been like 4 years since he's been truly healthy, what is he? Should we be talking about him like they talk about DeAndre Hopkins or Michael Thomas, or do you think maybe he's in a rung below them at this point?
I think a healthy Odell Beckham is in that conversation. You know, when his grading at his best was right up there with the best receivers in the game. There was a few season stretch where he was breaking more tackles than any wide receiver in football, and he did all of this with declining Eli Manning throwing him the ball. Let's remember, he didn't have a good quarterback situation at all. Now, I know the same thing is true for DeAndre Hopkins for a lot of his career, but, you know, Odell Beckham is a game-changing elite wide receiver. If you get him healthy and focused and on the same page with his quarterback, there's no reason he can't be up there with the very best receivers in football.
We had a discussion this morning before you came on about Myles Garrett and whether or not the suspension is going to extend into this season. Do you see any reason for this to go beyond six games? Do you expect him to come back, or do you think there's a chance that this could bleed over into the new season?
Yeah, it's always hard to tell what the NFL wants to do from a discipline standpoint. It felt like the natural resolution to the whole thing to just, you know, make it indefinite, but end him through the season, and then let's start afresh next year. I would be surprised if it ran into next year. It feels like there'll be a point in the off season where they'll all get together, you know, have a meeting and decide that his time has been served and he can come back onto the field. But you can never predict exactly what the NFL is going to do when it comes to implementing discipline.
How good of an NFL quarterback do you believe Joe Burrow will be?
Yeah, I mean, he has been absolutely spectacular this season in college. He was better than any single season that we saw from Baker Mayfield, who was the previous sort of standard setter from our college grading point of view. He was good at all the stuff that's hard to translate, that doesn't stay consistent and predictive, but he was also really good at the stuff that does. The only concern with him is that we only really saw it for 1 year, and that's always going to make you a little bit leery, but all of the data we have on him says that he is a superstar, you know, ready to come into the NFL and be dominant right away.
What position do the Browns need to take number 10 overall?
I think they're in a good spot value-wise. I think they could look at tackle. I think they can definitely upgrade either of those spots on the offensive line, and it's a good tackle draft as well. I think it's also not a bad time to start looking at, you know, succession or alternate backup options at wide receiver. Again, it's an incredible wide receiver draft, and as much as we think Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham should be the answer in this offense, it wouldn't hurt to have an insurance policy in case the thing goes south again.
I got a stealing feeling they might move back. Can you do you advocate for that? Do you think that's a bad move? What do you think?
I would say in most drafts, moving back and accumulating picks is almost always a good idea. I think the draft is, you know, as much information as everybody assembles on it, and as much as everybody wants to think that they know who's going to be the next superstar, almost all the evidence says that everybody is just working on a scale of guesswork, and it's still too much of a gamble. So the more shots you have, the more lottery tickets you buy, the better situation you're going to be in. So, yeah, I'd always be a fan of moving back and collecting more draft picks.
All right, Sam, we thank you very much for the time, brother. All the very best to you and yours.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Go ahead.
Although, Sam, if he was our guest in 2016, I would have probably gotten into a fist fight with him about the 2016 NFL draft. That was the one draft you couldn't move down. It was a surefire
every player. I know.
Every player turned out to be good.
People are going to hear that. You want to start taking off the gloves about the draft. You want to get people cussing you out?
I agree,
say that they should trade back.
In a lot of cases,
cuss you clean out.
More stabs are good. That is, if you trust the guys making the picks and taking those stabs.
I want to look at Twitter right now. Drew Pearson is...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.